Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we're only about a week and a half away from Election Day 2012. But as we've learned many times, you and I, over living in this area near Washington, D.C. for a long time, there's only one thing that consumes this town more than politics, and that's bad weather. The Frankenstorm is on the way, so...
Run for your life! Sandy's coming!
So if folks around the D.C. area see dozens of cars abandoned on the side of the road, that's just part of what happens in bad weather around here. Still don't really understand why it'll just happen that way. But we'll get back to politics. I'm sure once the storm is over, and even during the storm, since it's going to be in the final days of this campaign. And the good news, Jim, of course, related to the campaign, number one, it looks like Romney's fundraising doing very, very well here in October, raising about $111 million. And, of course, the month isn't over yet. I'm sure he's probably bought about as many different ad spots as he can, although it turns out he's just bought a few more in Minnesota. But hopefully a lot of this money is now cranked into the get out the vote effort, because that will be critical. And as you've pointed out, by looking at the national polls and in state polls across the country, it's looking very, very likely, unfortunately more likely than the Electoral College, that Mitt Romney will win the popular vote. So it's still very, very tight, but a lot of indicators looking good.
Yeah, this was something that I kind of had, you know, been brewing in the back of my mind for a couple of days, and I decided this morning to finally look at the actual polling data. The first is that, yes, in most of the tracking polls, Romney is ahead by a little bit, and that's always a nice thing to see in terms of the popular vote. You and I have talked before about the irony of Obama appearing to be stuck at 47%. What was really fascinating is we have not seen a poll that has Obama above at 48 or above since Sunday, and today is, of course, Friday. So it's 6 days of tracking polls, Obama's been at 47% or below. And then I started looking at, well, who's left over in these polls? And usually the undecideds or, and other party candidates are somewhere between 3 and 8%. But you end up in a circumstance where any way you slice it, you're coming out with Romney ahead on these national polls. Now, okay, maybe the national polls are wrong, sampling is bad, et cetera, et cetera. So I started looking at the deep red states and the deep blue states. And to very quickly and summarize, Romney's doing better in the blue states than John McCain did. Not a terribly high, you know, bar to clear.
Right.
And what's really interesting is he's doing better in the red states than John McCain did. It's not surprising that, you know, people feel differently about Barack Obama and they feel differently about him from coast to coast. In the blue states, they don't like him as much. And so he's usually running about 3 or 4 percentage points lower than he did in his final vote total in 2008. And, you know, in most of the red states, Romney's running a little bit better than McCain did in places like Oklahoma and North Dakota and Indiana, which actually Obama won. Now it looks like Romney's going to win probably about, you know, 12, 13 points. So you add all that up. Well, if Romney's doing better in the red states and better in the blue states and better in the purple states, that's good. That's, you know, the idea of a Obama popular vote is now increasingly, if not impossible, very unlikely, barring something dramatic happening in these past, in these next, you know, 10 days or so. And by the way, Hurricane Sandy hitting the Northeast really can't be good news for Obama. I just can't say, although you might say that, you know, Republican enthusiasm is so fantastic this year that we want good weather on Election Day. Kind of tough to imagine a big hurricane hitting the Northeast being good news for turnout for Democrats, or traditionally a little tougher to bring out to the polls. So just add this up, Romney's going to win the popular vote. Now, as I, you know, like to point out, you know, that and a couple of bucks will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. You know, if you don't have 270 electoral votes, it doesn't do you any good. Now, the nice thing out of this is that you very rarely see a very big difference between the two. If Romney really is doing better than McCain in all of these states, and then you throw in all of the effort that they're making in the swing states, kind of tough to believe that Romney would fall short in these. But don't count any chickens before they're hatched. My prediction is about the popular vote, not about the electoral vote, at least not yet. And we'll see how things shake out in these last week to 10 days or so.
As you mentioned, Jim, hopefully if Romney wins the popular vote, he also wins the Electoral College. But if he doesn't, I'm sure that Al Gore and Hillary Clinton will be out there once again calling for the popular vote being the the real thing that matters, and that's how presidents should be elected. On to martini number two now, Jim, and the revised gross domestic product numbers are out for the third quarter, and it looks like it's 2% which is higher than the initial expectations, and it brings the average for the year up to a whopping 1.77%. This is being trumpeted by the liberal media, and President Obama today saying it shows we're on the right path to turning this around since the worst thing since the Great Depression. Well, the projection, of course, from the Obama administration was at this point we'd be at a 4.6% clip, I think, was the projection. And, of course, if you go back to the Reagan years, which a lot of people are trying to compare this recovery to, he was well over 6% at this point. So you can cheer that if you want to, but I think most rational people will agree that it is, as you like to say, Jim, bouncing along the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, I had tweeted earlier today, can we just skip the part where the liberals insist that 2% growth is great and conservatives insist that 2% growth is terrible? Not because I actually think that it isn't. Look, it is pretty darn lousy. I just don't think anyone is persuaded by these sorts of things. I think that, you know, 2% growth is pretty lousy. You know, it is. But people who want to insist the economy is in this huge recovery, as Michelle Obama put it, will say, look, it's 2%. Oh, my God, 2%, you know. Recovery City, here we come. And an article at NRO a few weeks ago pointing out that most people's perceptions of the economy are directly tied to their political views. And if their guy is in charge, I think the economy is doing well. If their guy's not in charge, I think the economy is doing badly, regardless of what the economic data said. You know, between the end, like December 2008 and like March 2009, Democrat perceptions of how the economy was doing improved dramatically, even though the actual economic indicators were getting worse at that point. So, you know, it's evidence that this is a, you know, bouncing along the bottom economy. I don't think this particular number is going to change that much of the perceptions about it. But it's still pretty depressing that we are a stagnant economy. We are not losing ground, but we certainly aren't growing anything remotely close to what we need to get most Americans working again.
On to the crazy martini now, Jim. And I almost have to apologize in advance for this being our last topic before the weekend. But nonetheless, last night, here's what folks discovered if they were trolling for anything political on the internet. This is Lena Dunham, who is apparently the star of some show called Girls on HBO. And, well, as you'll be able to tell here, we're going to play the whole thing. She is comparing voting for Barack Obama to losing her virginity.
Your first time shouldn't be with just anybody. You want to do it with a great guy. It should be with a guy with beautiful, someone who really cares about and understands women. A guy who cares whether you get health insurance, and specifically whether you get birth control. The consequences are huge. You want to do it with a guy who brought the troops out of Iraq. You don't want a guy who says, oh, hey, I'm at the library studying, when really he's out not signing the Lilly Ledbetter Act. Or who thinks that gay people should never have beautiful, complicated weddings of the kind we see on Bravo or TLC all the time. It's a fun game to say, who are you voting for? And they say, I don't want to tell you. And you say, no, who are you voting for? And they go, guess. Think about how you want to spend those 4 years. In college age time, that's 150. Years. It's also super uncool to be out and about. Someone says, did you vote? And you go, no, I wasn't ready. My first time voting was amazing. It was this line in the sand. Before I was a girl, now I was a woman. I went to the polling station. I pulled back the curtain. I voted for Barack Obama.
Jim, I played that on the computer last night, and I thought to myself as I was wrapping up, what ridiculous, stupid super PAC paid for this? It's the Obama campaign. This is their actual ad. I don't know if it's just a web ad or it's actually going to be played on regular TV as well. But this fake war on women thing has gone way too far. And the fact that they basically said that not voting for Obama is super uncool and essentially saying not having sex before marriage is super uncool, I think they've taken this way too far.
So many snide one-liners, so little time, Greg. Well, first of all, I'm observing, yes, this is the Obama campaign. This is not some crazy super PAC or something like that. It is a web ad. It does not appear to be destined for television yet. But let me put it this way. They clearly thought they could put this out there and their base would see it. And basically, they want college-age women who sound like this actress, Lena Dunham, who, by the way, like, I just want to observe, this does not strike me as the most naturally compelling personality to portray as an Obama voter. I mean, even if she weren't saying things that struck most people as snotty and offensive and vulgar and all this other stuff, I just don't know if I listen to that tone of voice for an extended period of time. Here is this message that they clearly thought would only get to their base, and within an instant on Twitter last night, and all, you know, this is going to be played on talk radio all day long. It already was on Fox News Channel this morning. I, you know, it's turned into something that's going to reach well beyond the demographics they wanted to reach. And exceptionally clear is, you know, that this is a base motivation-based campaign from the Obama campaign right now. They're not worried about independence. They're not worried about the remaining undecided. They just want to drag out those college students as best they can. I don't know if this is going to work. I thankfully, we did not hear the, "I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message." Because you really wonder if the father of young daughters, teenage daughters, really would approve of that. It's one of the things that would really be kind of fascinating if Obama saw it and if what Obama genuinely thought of it. Wisecrackers like me were making fun of it on Twitter last week. The professionals were saying, who really approved that? Did they really think about that? Seems like a very risky messaging in this. Suburban soccer moms don't want to see that being the message. To say nothing of just the, you know, you thought Obama, there was a gender gap before. Greg, they're now saying that voting for Obama is like having sex with him. That's not a natural, hey, men, come and vote for Obama. If you think about it, technically it's also sex with Biden, too. Now, as much as that's turning listeners' stomachs, let me observe that we all know that, yes, technically under the Constitution, you're having sex with the electors of the Electoral College, not the president and vice president. Somehow that's less than fully reassuring. By the way, two other like really disturbing wrinkles worth noting. Apparently, Vladimir Putin had an advertising campaign like this in their pseudo-election they had over in Russia. It being Russia, it was more creepy and disturbing. Also, oh, by the way, the actress Lena Dunham got in trouble for making jokes about rape and murder on Twitter last week. So it's just the single creepiest, weirdest, and most unnerving advertising pitch we've seen this campaign season. And really, I think, you know, right now Demon Sheep is looking at that and saying, what were they thinking?
You know, it was earlier this year, Jim, where Michelle Obama was basically saying that Barack Obama was like a husband to America. I don't think she was implying this aspect of it, but yeesh.
To quote the governor of California, consider this the divorce.
There you go, America. That's the closing message. That's the closing message from the incumbent president of the United States. And if that's what you want, God help you. Jim, have a good weekend.
If you can, vote early, particularly with Sandy coming. If you can vote absentee, do so. But vote on election day, and then afterwards take a long, long shower with some strong disinfected soap, because you don't know what happened in that voting booth before you got there.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.